Well, it's June 16th, 2012, and you are listening to The Jason Kirkman Show. I have a big surprise for you tonight. I don't know if you can tell this or not. I don't think you can. But this show is something a little unique. We've only done this once before, but not like this. This show is actually pre-recorded. That's right, I am sitting in my home studio, piecing and producing and loving it all together, I guess you would say. I took a little longer week this week, a longer couple of days off. I had a really, really long week last week and put in some extra hours, and I'm just taking some time off to spend with my family, my boys. Might head up and do a little shooting or driving around and doing who knows what all, but we'll have a good time. As long as we're together, right? That's what family's all about, spending time together and really enjoying it and making the most of it all. And that's what I like to do with the Jason Kirkman Show. I try to make the most of it all. People say, what do you do on that show? I said, you'd be surprised. Well, we talk a lot about food. That's one thing, right? Everybody loves food. We'll talk about the local area and have special guests in every now and then. Hank Stuckey, Derek Heisey, Rob Chapin, Norm Bloom. We're planning on something a little special here in the next few months, and maybe we'll all be together for that. I don't know, but I'm working on that. And we have a lot of fun here. We like to play the music that you just don't hear anywhere, or hardly hear anywhere. And we also like to bring in some vintage comedy. Comedy from the 40s, 50s, 60s, and if it's good enough, even recent times. It's just not as good as it used to be. It's not the same. It's hardly anything family-oriented or clean anymore. You don't have to worry about that here. I want to show that I'm not ashamed to have my parents listen to or my kids listen to, and that's what this show is all about. It's all about that, and I'm all about that, and that's why I call this show The Jason Kirkman Show, and thought about calling it Jason Kirkman Friends and Fun, but it's too long a title, so we are going to have some fun, starting with right now. I got something for you. This is a piece that we do every week. Here's the history file. It's Saturday, June 16th. On this day in history, in 1815, Napoleon defeated the Prussians. In 1858, Abraham Lincoln, in accepting the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate in Illinois, declared that a house divided against itself cannot stand. In 1864, the siege of Petersburg and Richmond begins after a moonlight skirmish. In 1910, the first Father's Day is celebrated in Spokane, Washington. In 1925, France accepted a German proposal for a security pact. And in 1935, President Roosevelt's New Deal legislation is passed by the House of Representatives. In 1952, Anne Frank, Diary of a Young Girl, is published in the United States. In 1955, the U.S. House of Representatives voted to extend Selective Service until 1959. In 1971, an El Greco sketch, The Immaculate Conception, was stolen in Spain 35 years earlier, is recovered in New York City by the FBI. Going back a little further on this day in history, in 1882, hailstone 17 inches in diameter and weighing as much as 1.7 pounds fell in Dubuque, Iowa. In 1891, the George A. Hormelin Company was founded in Austin, Minnesota. In 1937, it introduced Spam, now the world's biggest-selling canned meat product. In 1903, a U.S. patent was issued for chicken goggles. That's right, chicken goggles, designed to protect chickens from being pecked in the eyes. And in 1903, another U.S. patent was issued for a soft drink formula called Pepsi-Cola. Also in 1903, Ford Motor Company was incorporated. In 1929, Otto E. Funk arrived in San Francisco to become the first person to walk across the U.S. playing a violin, 4,165 miles in 183 days. In 1976, the Jacksons premiered on a CBS TV special with music and comedy sketches starring Michael, Jackie, Tito, Marlon, Randy, LaToya, Rebby, and Janet. After four shows in 1976, the cast returned for 3 months in early 1977. And in 1978, the electronic game Space Invaders was first demonstrated. In 1987, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar signed a 2-year contract with the Los Angeles Lakers for $5 million, making him the highest paid player in any sport. In 1991, John Decker of Cheshire, England did 7,683 one-armed push-ups in 5 hours. In 2007, a two-headed snake named Wee, the main attraction at the World's Aquarium in St. Louis, died from natural causes. Though most two-headed snakes live only a week or two, Wee was 8 years old and was so popular, the remains were preserved and remain on display. Wee was both male and female, but had not been able to reproduce when paired with another two-headed snake. Born on this date in 1888, Bobby Clark, comedian and actor. In 1890, Stan Laurel, British-born entertainer and partner of Oliver Hardy. Born in 1917, Catherine Graham, the publisher of the Washington Post. And that's your History File for Saturday, June 16th, 2012.
When I was a lad, an old ship was a pub over hill. And meadows with strain. Just a boy and his dog, we were both full of fun. We grew up together. Jumped in and helped pull me out. As the years fast did roll, old Chevy grew. His eyes were fast growing dim, and one day the doctor looked at me and said, I can do no more for him, Jim. With hands that were trembling, I picked up my gun and aimed it at Shep's faithful head. I just couldn't do it. I wanted to run. I wish they would shoot me instead. He came to my side and he looked up at me and laid his old head on my knee. I had struck the best friend that a man had. I cried so I scarcely could see. Old Shelby has gone where the good dog is gone, and no more with old Shelby will I roam. But if dogs have a heaven, there's one thing I know. Old Shep has a wonderful
There's an Elvis classic for you, Old Shep. And here's another classic from the Bickersons. Blanche is about to get her tonsils taken out.
From Hollywood, it's Dream Time. Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of Dream Shampoo are pleased to present the 11th in a series of new programs written by Phil Rapp, produced by Carlton Alsop, and starring Don Ameche...
Blanche, why don't you let me sleep, huh?
Danny Thomas and Frances Langford, who sings...
Somebody loves me, I wonder who... I wonder who he can be. Somebody loves me, I wish I knew. Who can he be? Worries me. For every boy who passes me, I shout, hey, maybe you were meant to be my loving baby. Somebody loves me, I wonder who, maybe you. Somebody loves me, I wish I knew. Who can it be? Where is me? For every boy who passes me, I shout, hey, maybe you were meant to be my loving baby. Somebody loves me, I wonder who, baby. Maybe, maybe it's you.
Not 50%, not 75%, but 100%. Yes, it's 100% true. Dream Shampoo reveals all the sparkle, all the sheen, all the dazzling brilliance of your hair. Never before, Dream, could any shampoo leave your hair so lustrous. Now, that's because Dream is not a soap shampoo. It never leaves dingy, dulling film on hair to hide its natural beauty. And what's more, Dream does not dry out your hair. Instead, its fragrant, freshening whipped cream lather leaves your hair sublimely smooth, beautifully behaved, easier to set, easier to curl, easier to arrange. And Dream removes unsightly dandruff the first time you use it. So, for lovely, lustrous hair, for all types of hair, dry, normal, or oily, Dream shampoo with hair conditioning action. Use it at home or ask for it at your beauty shop. Buy it at all drug, department, or 10-cent stores in the blue and yellow package. Remember, never before Dream could any shampoo leave your hair so lustrous, yet so easy to manage. Yes, your hair can have that dazzling sheen the very first time that you use Dream. And now here is your host for the evening, Don Ameche.
I'd like to make mention of the fact that we've received a great many letters from listeners, most of which were very encouraging. However, there is one letter that calls for an answer from Danny Thomas.
Call and I shall answer, Don.
Hello, Danny.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. What's the gist of the note, Don?
Well, it's just this. The writer, a lady of middle age, I should guess, suggests that you sing a serious song now and then.
Well, her suggestions may be well meant, Don, but serious songs are for serious singers.
No question about it.
A man has to be trained in the art of delivering a ballad.
No question about it.
And I'm a comedian. I said I'm a comedian. Seems to be a question about it.
No, no, not in my mind, Danny. But this lady has an idea that you shouldn't be facetious all the time. She thinks jokes are cheap.
She does, huh? Wait till she has to buy a few.
At any rate, the letter is very complimentary, and she goes so far as to compare you with Al Jolson, possibly the greatest entertainer of all time.
No question about that.
She wants to know why you don't sing the kind of songs he did.
Well, you just don't write tunes like that today. Besides, Jolson had a wonderful gimmick.
Gimmick?
Weenie. Squeeze. That's a songwriter's jargon for trick.
Oh.
Look, he sang about his mother, his kid Sonny Boy, and his home in Alabama all in one season. That's pretty powerful stuff, kid.
That's quite a gimmick.
I mean, what have we got to sing about? You know we can't sing about mother. We'd be called corny. After all, you got to remember, this is the atomic age. Oh, we're a sharp, brilliant people. I mean, we're so much more brilliant than our forebears, we now know how to destroy ourselves 50 times as quickly.
Yeah, you have a point, Danny.
So what can we sing about and be up to date? Schizophrenia? Or maybe kleptomania? Can you imagine singing a song called "A Pretty Kleptomaniac is Like a Schizophreniac, but the Malady Lingers On"?
I never heard of that one.
Well, maybe you'd like me to sing about that new medical discovery, sulfathiothiaparapenicillamide. What a medicine that is, brother.
Great, huh?
Great. They haven't found a disease for it yet. But there is one subject that is abreast of the times and still has a great depth. Archaeology. Or is it archaeology?
Well, I wouldn't know. Are you qualified to sing about the study of lost races? I
haven't had a winner all season. But Don, would it shock you if I told you I took a special course in archaeology at Cairo Prep?
No.
Yes, sir. I'm a graduate archaeologist. Or is it Archie?
Why don't you call Duffy's Tavern?
I'll do that. Now, as soon as I received my diploma, the entire graduating class was sent to the Egyptian desert to search for relics. Mm. The second day out, I unearthed a priceless old vase. Or is it vase?
Either is correct.
Or is it either? Well, the third day while I was snooping, that's right, snooping, around the pyramids, I found an unopened crypt.
A crypt?
Crypt. It was full of ossified sand crabs.
And what did you do?
I crept into the crypt, cribbed a crab, and crept out of the crypt again.
I'm glad you made it.
Me too. I pushed on another 10 miles and bagged the biggest trophy of the whole expedition. I discovered the remains of the great Prince Tut.
No.
Yes.
Where?
He weighed 300 pounds in his sandals and toga.
Oh, say, that's a big mummy.
Oh, you might say he was the daddy of all mummies. There he was, shrouded in his wrappings and covered from head to foot with precious gems, lying inside this weird Egyptian tomb.
Sphinx?
A little. But what can you expect? I mean, what can you expect from a man who's been dead for 3,000 years? Well, I brought Tata back to this country and I never let that mummy out of my sight.
Loved him, huh?
Oh, yeah. We finally found happiness and success doing a comedy program on an obscure radio station.
Well, now, wait a minute, Danny. Don't tell me you were on the air together.
Oh, certainly. We were known as Fibber McGowell and Mommy. We had a great program. There was a stooge named Red Skeleton.
Skeleton?
Yeah, and the announcer was H.V. Corbsonborn. It was a ghost-to-ghost hookup.
Sounds pretty gruesome.
Well, we were broadcasting from Death Valley. As a matter of fact, I'm glad that's all over with now. Tut-Tut was very happy until another station went into competition with us and put on a program called Zombie for a Day.
Know the show well.
Oh, you know it?
Oh, yes.
You've heard it?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I haven't. We lost all of our listeners, and Tut-Tut couldn't stand the disgrace of the failure, so he ran away.
Oh? Oh, you poor kid. You lost your mummy.
Yeah. I traveled the whole world over in search of Tut-Tut. Egypt, Syria, India. I even went to North Africa on a wild goose chase. All I found was a wild goose. No Tut-Tut. Tired, hungry, and worn, searching, ever seeking, I plodded across Africa, struggling through the elephant's graveyard.
Oh, now, Danny, there isn't really such a thing, is there?
Oh, yes, there is, Don. It's legend. An elephant will travel for thousands of miles, over rugged terrain, through swamps and the thick, heavy underbrush of the jungle to get to the place where he's going to die. And he always dies there. It's the trip that kills him. Believe me, I know.
Well, tell me, did you ever find Tut-Tut?
Yes, Don, I finally came across his hiding place, but I just didn't have the heart to dig him up again.
Well, why not?
Well, I knew he had finally found true happiness because I saw a large tomb and a middle-sized tomb and a little tomblet. and not wishing to cause a tumult over the tumult, I decided to go away, leaving Tut-Tut and his happy married life. And so, Don, I want to sing a song that's near and dear to my heart. And this shall be my answer to the lady who can't forget Al Jolson. A caterpillar is a thriller to a caterpillar. The flowers and the bees are very chummy. A cricket has a thicket where he serenades a cricket. But a man's best friend, it is mummy. A beaver can increase the fever of another beaver. A puppet dreams about a wooden dummy. A gopher always has a gopher that he seems to gopher. But a man's best friend, it is mummy. Why, in most of my friendships with others, I know there have been many flaws. Oh, but with Tut-Tut and me, though we weren't brothers, he was just like my own flesh and gauze. Because a white fish is the right fish to delight another white fish. A little piggy loves his little tummy. An ermine will determine to get wolfish with an ermine. La da 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 da. Thank you. But a man's best friend, it is mummy. My best friend and I are stay, not divided, no, stay. Down deep in my heart, I've decided. To make every day a mummy's day. A turtle who's a flirtle find excitement with a turtle. A little lamb adores his honey lammy. A sea bass who's a he bass loves a sea bass who's a she bass. La da 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 da. Now I don't intend to offend the mammy down in Alabama, but a man's best friend right to the end is his mummy. Sorry, Jolson, not his mammy.
Never before green, yes, never before green could any shampoo reveal all the natural brilliance of your hair. Never before green could any shampoo leave your hair so lustrous yet so easy to manage. When you green your hair, you bring out all its sparkling highlights. When you green your hair, you glamorize all its soft, thrilling texture. When you green your hair, you remove all luster-dulling film and unsightly dandruff. And more, Dreen's rich whipped cream lather leaves your hair easier to set, easier to curl, easier to arrange. So for lovely, lustrous hair, for all types of hair, Dreen shampoo with hair conditioning action. Never before Dreen could any shampoo leave your hair so lustrous, yet so easy to manage. D-R-E-N-E, Dreen shampoo.
Ladies and gentlemen, during a recent overseas tour, my wife, Rosemary, sent me a little idea for a song that we thought was very nice. And just recently, with the help of Jerry Seelan, we finished it. And tonight, for the first time anywhere, Francis Langford is going to sing it with a special arrangement by Carmen Dragon. The song is Just Before I Sleep. Thanks, Francis.
Before I sleep, I pray for you. I love you with each prayer I say for you. Although I know I've lost you, paper picture near me and whisper words of love to you. What a pity you don't hear me. Every time I dream, it's you again. Every time it's you, it's you again. I try so to forget you, I try with all my might, but just before I sleep, we always kiss
Francis Langford as John and Blanche Bickerson with Danny Thomas as Brother Amos in The Honeymoon is Over. The Bickersons have retired. Mrs. Bickerson lies rigid but awake in the darkness as poor husband John, victim of an obscure type of insomnia that prevents other people from sleeping, exhibits the telltale symptoms of his dread affliction. Listen.
It may be funny to him, but it's not to me. John, John, cut it out.
Cut it out, Blanche.
I'll lose my mind if you don't stop that giggling. What's the matter with you?
What's the matter, Blanche?
You sound like a tickled schoolgirl. What are you dreaming of?
Tickling schoolgirls.
John.
What? What? What'd you say, Blanche?
I simply won't stand it another night. Living in this house is becoming unbearable.
Let's move.
John, I swear I'm at my wit's end. How long do you think a person can go without sleep?
I've been doing it for 5 years.
John Bickerson, we've been married for 5 years.
Amazing coincidence. Good night.
Don't you good night me, you big sleeping pill. Why don't you have some consideration for me?
Well, what do you want me to do, Blanche?
When you were sick last year, did I say that? Didn't I sit up all hours of the night nursing you? Didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And what was my reward?
I got sicker.
Sure, you can afford to be sarcastic now. You feel fine.
I want to sleep. It's 2 o'clock, Blanche.
You don't remember how I catered to you every minute. When the doctor said not to let you have anything cold, didn't I give you all the ice water you wanted?
You sure did. Almost killed me.
That's gratitude. Well, I didn't expect anything else from you. You don't love me, do you, John?
Oh, of course I do. Just because I don't say it every 5 minutes doesn't mean that I don't love you.
Tell the truth, John. If anything happened to me, would you marry again?
Never. Never again.
Well, you don't have to sound so vehement.
Well, if I said it any softer, you'd say I didn't sound convincing. I don't know, Blanche. I just wish you'd let me sleep.
I keep thinking how nice it was before we were married.
Mm-hmm.
You were so different then. You used to plead with me for a little kiss. Now you don't even think of it. Why?
A mouse in a trap loses his taste for cheese.
Very funny. Oh, you're so funny, John Bickerson.
Well, I'm tired, and I have to get up early tomorrow.
You just won't understand, will you? There are none so blind as those who will not see.
Yeah?
The one time I expected you to break down and offer me comfort, and you fail me.
What?
It's all right. I'll struggle through it alone. It won't be long, and when the time arrives, I don't even want to see you near me.
What are you talking about?
I'll go to the hospital by myself. You can sleep right through it.
Blanche, are you...
Hasn't Dr. Marvin told you, John?
Nobody told me. What is it?
I'm going to have my tonsils out.
Your tonsils? What do you need to have your tonsils out for? You never have sore throats. Your tonsils never bothered you before. You never even knew you had tonsils.
Dr. Marvin said it would help my disposition.
Have them out, by all means.
I don't think I will, after all.
Okay, don't. Good night.
The only reason I was going to do it is because I thought I'd get a good night's sleep.
Okay, do it.
Why should I suffer through an operation? You're the one who keeps me awake. Why don't you do it?
Do what?
Have your tonsils out.
Okay, I'll have them out next week.
You say it, but you won't do it. Have them out now.
What?
Go on, get up and call Dr. Marvin. Let him pull your tonsils out.
Blanche, are you insane? It's 2:30 in the morning.
The hospital stays open all night. Go on, let him pull your tonsils out.
I haven't got any tonsils. I had them out when I was 9.
Well, you need some new ones by now. Let him put some in.
Oh, this is awful. You're deliberately trying to keep me awake. You know I have to get up early and go to work.
Oh, don't make your job sound so important. You take a day off, nothing will happen.
No, nothing will happen except I lose a day's pay. I need all the money I can get. I've got to make a payment on the car tomorrow.
Where will you get that?
I've got it. There's $84 locked in the desk drawer.
60.
84. I looked yesterday.
You didn't look today. There's only 60.
What happened to the other $24?
Don't look at me, John.
Blanche, there are only two people who have a key to that drawer. You and I, and there's $24 missing.
Well, we'll each put back $12 and say no more about it.
How do you like that? Blanche, what did you do with that $24?
I spent it. I bought some perfume.
Perfume? $24 worth? How could you carry that much?
Don't be silly. It was only a 1/2-ounce bottle, and I got it wholesale. It's the newest thing. Very daring. It's called Perhaps.
Perhaps. For $24, they should give you positively. Well, I can't understand. Can't understand why you throw my money away on junk like that.
It isn't junk, and you like it.
How do you know?
Because it's the same kind Gloria Gooseby uses.
I hate Gloria Gooseby.
Well, you're always sniffing around her.
Don't you start with that woman.
You're the one who started it.
I'd like to spend one night in this bedroom without Gloria Gooseby. Just one night.
She just douses herself with that perfume. That's how she catches all the men, the hussy.
She's not a hussy, and she doesn't need perfume to catch me. I mean, I can't stand the sight of Gloria Gooseby.
But you like the way she smells.
I hate the way she smells. I don't see how Leo can live with them. I wish they both dropped dead. Now, either let me go to sleep or I won't go to work in the morning.
Don't go to work. See if I care. You'd have lost the day's pay anyway if I hadn't torn up that summons.
What summons?
For you to serve on a jury.
Why, you can't tear those things up. If I get a jury notice, I have to report.
Why?
Why? Because that's the law. You can't tear up any court order.
I tore up the traffic citation.
What traffic citation?
The traffic citation they gave me to go to court in front of the jury that you were supposed to serve on, but I tore up the notice.
Oh, Blanche, you'll have us both in jail.
Well, that's where my brother Amos is.
Amos? What has he got to do with this?
Well, I was taking a driving lesson.
Oh, Blanche, no! Not my new car! It's never been out of the garage!
Well, it's out now. I took a driving lesson and paid the instructor $5 an hour, and...
Who was the instructor? It was Amos, wasn't it? It was. I know it was Amos.
I never even took the wheel. Amos was driving, and we suddenly saw this other car careening toward us at 100 miles an hour.
Yes.
Amos didn't have much time, but by an amazing piece of quick thinking, he managed to meet him head on.
Oh.
It's a funny thing. Nobody got hurt. Not even the policeman.
What policeman?
In the other car.
Now look, Blanche.
Amos started to bawl them out about driving in the wrong lane, and they had some silly excuse about a police car having the right of way.
Blanche.
And then Amos got mad and hit one of the cops with a wrench.
Blanche, where is my car?
It's on Hill Street between 5th and 8th.
5th and 8th? That's 3 blocks apart.
That's where the car is. About 3 blocks apart. Or it was. They took some of it away to the police pound.
Some of it? Well, I don't care. I'm insured. I'm just happy they got that Amos in jail.
They can't do anything to him.
Oh, they can't, huh? That's reckless driving and resisting an officer. They can wrap him up good.
They can't do a thing about his driving, and you know it, John.
Why not?
Because he doesn't have a license.
Oh, that's different. They'll only add another 5 years. I hope they give him life.
John, why do you despise my poor brother so?
Because I hate him. And don't you dare ask me to help him, Blanche.
Well, the least you can do is help me. I have to go to court, too.
Well, it serves you right.
Go on, testify against me. Get me locked up in jail.
Oh, nobody's going to lock you up in jail.
Let them put me on bread and water. You won't feel so good when I walk that last mile when they slip my pants leg.
Blanche!
Why don't you get me a reprieve, John?
Oh, stop it! They're not going to do anything to you. Now go to sleep.
Go to sleep, he tells me. My poor brother's in jail. My own husband's going to testify against me. Go to sleep. How can I sleep? I'll never... How can he be so heartless?
Hello. Where's the phone, Blanche?
I've got it. Hello?
Blanche, this is Amos. I'm still in jail.
Wait, Amos. I'll get John. Talk to him, John.
Sure. Hello?
Jocko?
Drop dead.
Oh, listen, you gotta come down and spring me. This is the first call they let me make.
Drop dead.
Don't be sore, Jocko. I'm in an awful jam. I'm in a tank here with 50 other bums.
Drop dead.
But I got money enough to pay for all the damage. I think I even got enough for the bail bond. Get me out, will you, Jocko?
Drop dead.
I swear I'll pay you. I got plenty of dough. I started the crab game here and won over $400.
Drop $400. Amos, are you loaded?
No, but the dice were. Hey, come down and spring me, will you, Jocko?
Well, I'm going to think about it, Amos. Right now, I'll leave you with two words.
Yeah, well, what's that?
Drop dead! Now I can sleep.
Please, John, dear, get my brother out of jail.
Well, I'll think about it.
I'll do anything for you, John. Please bail him out.
Pour me a shot of bourbon, Blanche.
Are you sure you wouldn't like a double shot, dear?
Just a single. Thanks. Ah, wonderful stuff.
I promise I'll never wake you up again, darling.
And will you forget all about Gloria Gooseby?
Forever. Just get Amos out of that nasty jail.
Well, we can't do anything about it until morning anyway. In the meantime, I think I'll get a good night's sleep.
Certainly, dear. Are you comfortable?
Perfect. Just perfect.
Snore to me, John.
This is Toby Reed reminding you, never before dreamed, yes, never before dreamed, could any shampoo reveal 100% of the natural luster of your hair. Listen next Sunday for another pleasant half hour with Don Ameche, Danny Thomas, Francis Langford, Carmen Dragon, and his orchestra. And now here is
Don Ameche wishing you good days, good nights, and good luck until we meet again.
Taking another ride in the time machine, here's Andy Griffith with his take on the first time he saw a football game.
It was back last October, I believe it was. We was going to hold a tent service all off at this college town, and we got there about dinner time on Saturday. And different ones of us thought that we ought to get us a mouthful to eat before that we set up the tent. And so we got off of the truck and followed this little bunch of people through this small little bitty patch of woods there. And we come up on a big sign. It says, get something to eat here. And I went up and got me two hot dogs and a big orange drink. And before that I could take every mouthful of that food, this whole raft of people come up around me and got me to where I couldn't eat nothing, up like, and I dropped my big orange drink. I did. Well, friends, they commenced to move, and they want so much that I could do but move with them. Well, we commenced to go through all kinds of doors and gates and I don't know what all, and I looked up over one of them, and it says North Gate. And we kept on going through there, and pretty soon we come up on a young boy, and he says, ticket, please. And I says, friend, I don't have a ticket. I don't even know where it is that I'm going. I did. Well, he says, come out as quick as you can. And I says, I'll do her. I'll turn right around the first chance I get. Well, we kept on moving through there, and pretty soon everybody got where it was that they was a-going because they parted, and I could see pretty good. I could. And what I seen was this whole raft of people a-setting on these two banks and a-looking at one another across this pretty little green cow pasture. Well, they was. and somebody had took and drawed white lines all over it and drove posties in it and I don't know what all. And I looked down there and I seen five or six convicts a-running up and down and a-blowing whistles. They was. And then I looked down there and I seen these pretty girls a-wearing these little bitty short dresses and a-dancing around. And so I sat down and thought I'd see what it was that was going to happen. I did. And about the time I got set down good, I looked down there and I seen 30 or 40 men come running out of one end of a great big outhouse down there. They did. And everybody where I was a-setting got up and hollered. And about that time, 30 or 40 come running out of the other end of that outhouse, and the other bank full, they got up and hollered. And I asked this fellow that was besetting beside of me, I says, "Friend, what is it that they're hollering for?" Well, he whopped me on the back, and he says, "Buddy, have a drink." Well, I says, "I believe I will have another big orange." And I got it and sat back down. And when I got down there again, I seen that them men had got in two little bitty bunches down there. They had rail close together. And they voted. They did. They voted and elected one man apiece. And them two men come out in the middle of that cow pasture and shook hands like they hadn't seen one another in a long time. And then a convict come over to where they was a-standing, and he took out a quarter, and they commenced to odd man right there. They did. Well, after a while, I seen what it was that there's odd manning for. It was that both bunches full of them men wanted this funny-looking little pumpkin to play with. They did, and I know, friends, that they couldn't eat it because they kicked it the whole evening and it never busted. But anyhow, what I was a-telling was that both bunches full wanted that thing, and one bunch got it, and it made the other bunch just as mad as they could be, and, friends, I seen that evening the awfulest fight that I have ever seen in my life. I did. They would run at one another and kick one another and throw one another down and stomp on one another and grind their feet in one another and I don't know what all, and just as fast as one of them would get hurt, they'd tote him off and run another on. Well, they'd done that as long as I sat there. But pretty soon, this boy that had said, "Ticket, please," he come up to me and he says, "Friends, you're going to have to leave because it is that you don't have a ticket." And I says, "Well, all right." And I got up and left. And I don't know, friends, to this day what it was that there's a-doing down there, but I have studied about it. And I think that it's some kindly of a contest where they see which bunchful of them men can take that pumpkin and run from one end of that cow pasture to the other without either getting knocked down or stepping in something.
I'm going to Texas and pretty soon I'll be neath that lonesome moon. I got the Texas boogie, 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 boogie. I got the Texas boogie, Texas, I long for you. Now there's somebody in Cherokee, promised she would wait for me. I got the Texas boogie, 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 boogie. I got the Texas boogie, Texas, I'm sad and blue. Boogie, 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 Texas boogie, Texas, I long for you. I won't be happy until I've seen all there is in old Abilene. I got the Texas boogie, 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 boogie. I got the Texas boogie, Texas, I'm sad and blue. boogie. I got the Texas boogie, Texas, I long for you. There's a gal in Waco who's mighty sweet. She gives my heart that boogie beat. I got the Texas boogie, 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 boogie. I got the Texas boogie, Texas, I'm sad and blue.
You are listening to a pre-recorded version of the Jason Kirkman Show. I'm out spending some time with my family. So glad that you could join us anyway. I don't want a week to go by where I can't entertain you in some form or fashion. And that's why I pre-recorded this show tonight, because I believe in consistency. My wife sometimes says I'm inconsistent, and I remind her that I'm not all the time. Anyway, I'm so glad that you've joined us tonight, and we're going to continue on with the show. Here's a little more from the Hillbilly Hop album.
Away down south, there's a dance they do called Old MacDonald's Boogie. Below that Mason-Dixon line where they really boogie-woogie. Listen while I tell you how they do this Old MacDonald's Boogie. You clap your hands and you kick your feet, that's Old MacDonald's Boogie. To an old guitar with a solid beat, that's the way they boogie-woogie. You greet your lady with a how you all at Old MacDonald's Boogie Ball. Pick 'em up and lay 'em down, that's the way they boogie-woogie. Way down south where they boogie right and they boogie-woogie till broad daylight.
Well, this concludes another ton of fun with the Jason Kirkman Show. I'm so glad you could be with me tonight. Got a lot of rest in today, I'm sure. And I don't, like I said before, I don't want to miss being a part of your week. And that's why I will try to have something fresh and new for you whenever I am gone, which is few and far between. This is our 20th show, and this is my second time I've been away. And I don't like being away. And I don't like being without my friends who are here in Alamogordo and up in the mountains of the Cloudcroft area. And my friends who come into the studio to be a part of the show. And I'm constantly making new friends, too. And we'll be having some of those new friends on the air with me. But in the meantime, it'll be me and you right here. And don't forget to check out www.kuprradio.com and www.khiiradio.com. You can hear Bob Flott every morning giving you the latest news, weather, and information. So you don't want to miss that. Bob keeps us up to date, and we are all the more grateful for it. Also check out my website, jasonkirkman.com. My name gets misspelled a lot, so to spell it, it's C-U-R-T-M-A-N. And you can listen and download all of the shows that we've done here. And drop a line and make a note on the blog and let me know you're listening. I do hope you all have a fantastic evening. And we will get back to our regularly scheduled program. here in just a moment. But I would like to say before I let you go, God bless you and see you in church tomorrow.